The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayabhataka Swami on July 20th, 1993 in Sridhar, Mayapur. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 25, Verse 19.
Perfection in self-realization cannot be attained by any kind of yogi unless he engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that is the only auspicious path. Perfection in self-realization cannot be attained by any kind of yogi unless he engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that is the only auspicious path. Purport. That knowledge and renunciation are never perfect unless joined by devotional service is explicitly explained here. Nayujjamanaya means, quote, without being dovetailed, unquote. When there is devotional service, then the question is where to offer that service. Devotional service is to be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul of everything, for that is the only reliable path of self-realization or Brahman realization. The word Brahma, Siddhaye, means to understand oneself to be different from matter. To understand oneself to be Brahman. The Vedic words are Aham Brahmasmi. Brahma Siddhi means that one should know that he is not matter. He is pure soul. There are different kinds of yogis, but every yogi is supposed to engage in self-realization or Brahman realization. It is clearly stated here that unless one is fully engaged in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot have easy approach to the path of Brahma Siddhi. In the beginning of the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, when one engages himself in devotional service of Vasudeva, spiritual knowledge and renunciation of the material world automatically become manifest. Thus, a devotee does not have to try separately for renunciation or knowledge. Devotional service itself is so powerful that by one service attitude, everything is revealed. It is stated here, Siva Puntha. This is the only auspicious path for self-realization. The path of devotional service is the most confidential means for attaining Brahman realization. That perfection in Brahman realization is attained through the auspicious path of devotional service. That perfection in Brahman realization is attained through the auspicious path of devotional service indicates that the so-called Brahman realization or realization of the Brahma Jyoti effulgence is not Brahma Siddhi. Beyond that Brahma Jyoti, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Upanishads, the devotee prays the Lord to kindly put aside the effulgence, Brahma Jyoti, so that the devotee may see within the Brahma Jyoti the actual eternal form of the Lord. Unless one attains realization of the transcendental form of the Lord, there is no question of bhakti. Bhakti necessitates the existence of the recipient of devotional service. and the devotee who renders devotional service. Brahma Siddhi, through devotional service, is realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The understanding of the effulgent rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not the perfect stage of Brahma Siddhi or Brahman realization, nor is the realization of the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Person perfect. For Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Akhilatma. He is the super soul. One who realizes the Supreme Personality realizes the other features, namely the Paramatma within feature, rather, and the Brahman feature. And that total realization is Brahma Siddhi. Om Tat Sat. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 19. Translation. Perfection and self-realization cannot be attained by any kind of yogi unless he engages in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For that is the only auspicious path. Here Kapila Muni is saying that this is the only auspicious path, doing devotional service. Throughout the Vedas, there are these definitive statements glorifying the process of devotional service, saying the process of devotional service is essential. Brihadnarādhya Purāṇa says, Hare Nāma, Hare Nāma, Hare Nāma eva kevaram, kalova nāsteva, 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 gatiranyatā. In describing the holy name of Krishna, that every path is not complete without devotional service. Devotional service is essential. Similarly, the chanting the holy name is essential. Kevalam, in this age of Kali, nāsteva, 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 no karma, no jnana, no yoga, only bhakti. This is the siva puntha, all auspicious path. However, it's very unfortunate that today the modern people in India, although they are in touch with Sanskrit or Bengali culture, they don't take the trouble to actually understand the Siddhanta or the conclusions of the scripture. In fact, although here the Vedas clearly state what is the necessity of bhakti, necessity of chanting the holy names, someone can very easily pass that off. And the new people, they tend to say, well, why you are being so fanatic, dogmatic? You're only saying there's one way. Everyone says their way is the only way, so we reject you because you're saying one way. One way has to be the way. One of the ways is the way. If many people are claiming that theirs is the way, that doesn't mean there isn't a way. There is a way, and that way is the way. And one has to find that way and go all the way back to Godhead. The Lord Chaitanya, he said that the path of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the other way of trying to satisfy the public, the two don't go together. You want to satisfy everybody and you want to satisfy Krishna. How is it possible? Because everybody has a different interest and Krishna has a different interest. We need to satisfy Krishna's interest, that is bhakti. And everyone else's real interest will be satisfied by that. But their foolish misconception of what they think is their interest cannot be accepted as a goal for the pure devotee. Just like in Bengal, many people, they create their own slokas. There's one verse, one poetry someone composed. They give bhajan, hari bhajan. It's all the same. Whether you're jumping up and down on the danki, on the rice mill, or whether you're jumping up and down in kirtan, it's all the same. Right? Theek? Hello, is that correct? No. Thank you. But they can say anything and put it in a poetry and people think, oh, that's very nice. Someone has made a nice poetry Jatomat Chatopat. Whatever you do, it all goes to the same destination. It's all one. It sounds nice. It unifies all the different dualities. Pleases everybody. No matter what you're doing, it's all right. You're okay. Don't worry about it. As many speculations, that's as many destinations. It's all the same. So this may sound nice, but it's not true. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly said, Aka Ishwara Krishna Ar Sabha Britta. Krishna is the only Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone else is His servant. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mam Ekam Saranam Vraja. Surrender unto me. Brihadaradiya Purana says, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namaiva, Kevalam. Only the Hari Nam in Kali Yuga. So the scripture tends to take this mood of being very explicit only this way. Because there are differences. There's Asura and there's Sura. Deva and Demon. The two different things are there. Ravana, he was worshipping Shiva. He was doing worship, he was doing puja. Famous worshipper. He was singing bhajans. Hanuman, he is also a well-known devotee. So do you mean to say Ravana's goal and Hanuman's goal was the same? The result of what they did was the same? Ravana wanted to kill Ram and Hanuman wanted to glorify Ram. Raghupati Raghava Rajo Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. So the goal isn't the same. Ravana was trying to kill Ram, Hanuman's trying to save Sita and glorify Ram. Ravana wants to enjoy Sita. To say it's all the same is very offensive. The Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad, father and son, that they both have the same objective? Obviously not. Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill Prahlad because he was telling everyone to worship Krishna. So saying everything is the same is an excuse to tell people you don't have to worship Krishna. Jai Radha Madhava ki, Sakhi Vrinda ki, Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. It's simply a way of telling people you don't have to worship Krishna. It's all right. If you worship Krishna, it means Krishna wants your undivided devotion. Ekaha Kuru Nandana, single-pointed, fixed devotion. But if you do the other maya processes, then you can do so many things. So people, they don't want to feel bad that they're not doing the right thing. So then someone gives some speculation, it's all right, whatever you do. But the karmis, their goal is swarga, to reach heavenly planets. The gyanis, they want nirvana, or to merge in the Brahman. The yogis, they want paramatma, or sayujya mukti. The bhaktas, they want to serve Krishna. Offer Krishna their thoughts, their words, their deeds, everything for Krishna's pleasure. They want to get Krishna prema. They don't want heavenly residence or to merge in the Brahman. What to speak of nirvana? They don't want these things. So how can one say that it's all the same? Karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti have different destinations, different aspects of reality. The supreme realization is bhakti. And here Kapila Muni is explaining, even for others, other spiritualists to achieve perfection, they also need to worship Krishna. They need to engage in devotional service. Actually, devas, they don't want to be called same as Vishnu. That doesn't please them. They are suras. Sura means they are devotees of Vishnu. If the police chief comes here, and then you call the police chief, oh, look at the prime minister. Does he feel that you glorified him? Say, oh, you're acting just like the president of the country or the king. It's like someone once called a police chief, well, you act just like King Edward. He didn't take it as a compliment. He's the police chief. If you call him a king or a chief minister or a president of a country, thinks you're joking with him. You're making fun of him. And also you're insulting that other dignitary. So you call one of the devas as the Parameshwar, as something equal, someone equal to Vishnu or Krishna. They don't take it as a compliment. It's offensive. They don't like it. They are pleased when the devotees offer them respect for their actual position as great devotees and as powerful assistants of the Lord. When you glorify them for what they are, that they can appreciate, not for what they are not. So now, because people, they have become lazy to know what is the real truth in the Vedas. Therefore, they are accepting half-truth as the full truth. They're accepting untruth as the truth. And this is creating havoc, disaster, total destruction in the spiritual life of the people. So the easy way to spread some kind of bogus religion or imitation religion is create some nice imitation Sanskrit or Bengali verses, Hindi verses. Make it sound like scripture. Then they think, oh yes, this must be true because it rhymes. Sounds good. Therefore we have to be careful. Not everything that rhymes is Shastra. A lot of it is actually totally simply bogus. That's why we don't sing any song. We sing the songs authorized by the previous acharyas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted his followers to develop love of Krishna. One time he was in his house, suddenly he heard the sound of Krishna's flute. When he heard the sound of Krishna's flute, he became mad in love for Krishna. Krishna! Krishna! He was calling out. His heart was rendered. He wanted to be with Krishna. He was feeling separation like Radharani was feeling separation for Krishna. So he was just crying out for Krishna. Where are you, Krishna? Mother Yasoda, I mean Sachi Mata, hearing Krishna's loud name being loudly shouted by Nimai, she went and seeing how her son was in so much love with Krishna, she held her hand out and begged, Nimai, give me Krishna Prema. This is what the devotees want from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has come to give the highest benediction and ask him for something insignificant? When Lord Chaitanya offered Kolavecha Sridhar, I'll give you a kingdom. You can be a ruler. He didn't say, I don't want to a kingdom. Alright, I'll give you swag. I'll give you the heavenly residence. You can go to Indraloka. Right, Vishwamitra, he sent Harishchandra right up to Indraloka without doing any of the rituals. That was an amazing thing. Ravana, he promised all of his citizens, don't worry about it, don't do any pious activity. I will take you to heaven, I'm going to build a stairway right up to heaven. You can just go there. The modern politicians are saying, what are you worrying about religion for? We will give you economic development. We will give you food in every pot. 2-in-1s in every house. unlimited sex pleasure by free abortions and sterilization. What are you worrying about? AIDS will be cured in any day. Anyway, you can use some temporary prophylactic system and avoid it. Like this, the materialistic governments are trying to enthuse the people. Don't do tapasya. Don't worry about it. Follow our way. So this is a system offered by materialists since time immemorial. The Lord himself, now he was offering Kolavecha Siddharth, do you want heaven? I'll give you heaven. No, I don't want heaven. The pure devotees, even if the Lord himself offers them, they don't want it. They don't want heaven. Heaven means heavenly sense gratification, so much happiness. They don't want it. Alright, I'll give you liberation, what the yogis for thousands of births they do meditation for, tapasya for. I'll give you moksha. And I don't want moksha. He's just passing it off. I don't want it. It's not for me. What do you want? What is it that you want, Lord Chaitanya asked Kolavecha Siddharth, the banana salesman. He's a hawker sitting in the market. You think that he'd grab at it. Here, take unlimited wealth, the kingdom. No, I don't want it. Take a heavenly residence. I don't want it. Okay, you give him liberation. No, I don't want it. Then what do you want? What did he ask for? I want to serve you. I want to serve you every time you appear in every incarnation and give your vegetables and fruits. I want to see that smiling face of that mischievous Brahmin boy, Nimai. That's all I want. And if I can't get that, if I'm not qualified, let me at least be born in the family of your devotees, where I will be trained to chant the holy names of Krishna with a singular attention. Then what did Lord Chaitanya say? All right, I will give you the greatest thing I have to offer, that which even Brahma and Shiva are eager for getting. I will give you Krishna prema. All the devotees, they were jumping in ecstasy, chanting, Harivo, Harivo! How Lord Chaitanya was giving the mercy to this simple devotee, Kolavecha Siddharth. Kolavecha Siddharth, he didn't think it was all the same. He had so much ability to differentiate. He could distinguish what was valuable, what wasn't so valuable. This discrimination is essential in spiritual life. Can we say everything is the same? They say it is complete foolishness. So Kapila Muni, he's not saying everything is the same. He's saying you must have bhakti, even if you want the other things. To do any yoga, to get real Brahma, Siddhi, to realize the absolute truth, you must go through bhakti. Mukti bhakti siddhi kami sakaya shanto. Krishna bhakta niskam ataiv shanto. Lord Chaitanya said all the other yogis are without peace of mind. They're agitated. Krishna bhakti, Krishna bhaktas are alone, self-satisfied, self-situated. So we want to practice that path authorized by the acharyas, authorized by Lord Chaitanya. He was giving people Krishna prema. What is Krishna prema? They would realize Krishna. They would spontaneously love Krishna. One stage of Krishna prema is also people became spontaneously in love with Krishna. But they knew what they wanted. Mother Sachi, she didn't run in there and say, give me mukti! She said, give me Krishna prema. We should know what we want. Not thinking Ravan and Hanuman is the same. We should know what we want. Even if somebody comes up with a good tune, it's all one, 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 one. It's not all the same. We're not idiots. We know that there's a difference because the Shastra tells us there's a difference. So it may not be pleasing to everybody. Lokaranjan. It won't be Lokaranjan. It won't be gratifying to all the people. But to gratify Lord Chaitanya, you're going to try out a few Mayavadis. It's the fact of life. Can't satisfy Lord Chaitanya and all the demons at the same time. It never works. So that's why Krishna consciousness has got that inherent problem for becoming a popular movement. We cannot become popular by compromising our principles. Because if we compromise, we won't please Lord Chaitanya. And if we don't please Lord Chaitanya, then we're no longer the Krishna conscious movement. We're no longer the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. We're no longer able to deliver the goods of Krishna Prema. To represent Lord Chaitanya is essential if we want to give the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That means first, foremost, and at all times we have to satisfy Lord Chaitanya's requirements, his prerequisites, his orders. The only way then that people will appreciate is when they too become Krishna conscious. So in the beginning, people didn't like Lord Chaitanya's points. Many people, they would protest, you're ruining Hindu Dharma. Making everybody the same, you're uniting all the people, Brahmanas, Sudras, Hindus, non-Hindus, everyone together. But in the end, those who criticized, they said, actually you saved Sanatan Dharma. You've given the greatest gift. They were saying, Bhalo, Bhalo. Very good, very good. Haribo! So here Kapila Muni, he's not cheating his mother. Not trying to tell her something that's just pleasing. If we tell people things that are pleasing to them because it's easy, and not giving them the real perfection of life, we're cheating them. Kapila Muni is telling her, right from the beginning, no matter what yoga, if you want to get Brahma Siddhi, you must do bhakti to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So immediately he establishes, bhakti is essential. So, Srila Prabhupada also, he only gave the absolute truth as it is, like it or not. But those who take the absolute truth, it always does good to you. That's why I was mentioning one time, there's a saying in Bengali, was said, I forget the verse now, something like, Namataram Haritaki or something, I forget now. It means, maybe someone can remember what I said, you can take, even your mother may sometimes tell you something which is actually out of sentiment and that's not good for you. But bhakti is like Haritaki. Bhakti is always good for you. Sometimes even the mother may cook something, but by accident something may fall, that food may cause you a stomach ache. Well meaning, but result was different. But if you take Haritaki, it's one Vedic, Ayurvedic herb. If you put that in your stomach, it only does good. It can never harm you. That's the logic. The bhakti is always good. Other things are not so dependable. So we stick to bhakti, even though sometimes it seems that we're not pleasing everyone. But we know in the long run, whoever we can reach, they will get the real benefit. What's the use of superficially pleasing everyone and not helping anyone? If we can save even some people, that will be truly beneficial. And by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, everyone can be reached in due course. So what Srila Prabhupada gave us, even though it's also another, just like Haritaki, whatever he given us, it's all good. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Any question? Rejected? Injected. So we're reading here in these verses, Kapila Muni also is telling his mother how one, by becoming attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becomes cleansed of the impurities, gradually gets purified and gets situated in bhakti. The Srimad Bhagavatam also explains how by worshipping Vasudeva, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janatyas Vairagam Jnanam Yata Tahaitukam, one automatically gets knowledge of the Absolute Truth, Vairagya, detachment from material life, and how step by step one gets purified, one becomes more attached to Krishna. Thus one gets detached from the material world. Finally the knot of the false ego is cut and one is firmly established in pure devotion. By hearing the Bhagavatam, Nasta Praesa Padreshu Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya, almost all the impurities are washed away. And this way, one step by step reaches that pure state. So the practice of Krishna consciousness, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna attentively, following the regular principles, serving in the association of devotees, this process is for injecting us with that spiritual essence. It's for bringing us up to that pure platform. Whole process is geared like that. Everybody wants the instant magic cure. When they hear how there was one disciple, the guru touched the disciple on the head. Disciple fell on the ground. He came back unconscious. When he came back to conscious, he thought, I got zapped by lightning. And the guru was crying, I don't have any more shakti, I lost everything. Everything now is all with you. I'm finished. It's all gone. Everything is now with you. Sounds really far out, you know. The guru just poof, zap, boom. Gives the disciple everything and the guru's wiped out, finished. Wow, where they get such a zap, you know, that I'll have it one shot. No sadhana. No rounds, no rules and regulations, just zap! So everybody going around, they come in, sometimes stereotyped people that have read all these fictionist stories, and then they come and, can you read my mind? Do you know what I want? Just waiting. Will you touch me on the head and give me the zap? The chant Hare Krishna. That's not what I wanted. I wanted to get the lightning flash. The stars and the you know. So then some yogis, they started to pray, all right, I'll give you, I'll let you see the light. They go and they press the eyeballs, pushing hard, and wow, till the optic nerve is about ready to bust, and they see the light. You just push the optic nerve until you see light. You seen the light? Yeah, yeah. All right. Now you realize. Now put your money here, that will be 250. See, so many quick fixes. So everybody wants this injection. This is the Ayurvedic system to take every day your medicine, follow the diet. It's like one person, a brother was a doctor. So he went to the brother, I'm sick, I got stomach ache. So he gave some medicine. So what diet should I follow? Diet? I mean, what, I'm a Western doctor, what diet? When I give you medicine, this is so you can eat anything. You do anything. Medicine will do it on its own. Otherwise, what kind of doctor am I? I'm Western doctor. So, of course, nowadays even Western doctors tell people if they have diabetes, don't take sugar. If you have high blood pressure, don't take, you know, a lot of this, a lot of that. So, gradually even the Western doctors in the West, this was an Indian Western doctor, even they tell people to watch their diet. To do exercise. But the Vedic system was like that. It's a whole treatment, a whole diet, a whole system. So sadhana bhakti is like that. Of course, to get that injection, just like sometimes Lord Chaitanya, just by giving his mercy, Hariyo! He gave someone pure bhakti all of a sudden, without any qualification. But Lord Chaitanya wasn't bankrupted by that. He remained full. You heard how Minikitam Ramdas, he walked around with a flute. If he hit anybody with a flute, they'd break down in ecstasy, crying in love of Krishna, 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 Hari Mo, Hari Mo. But where is Minikitam Ramdas today? If we could find them, we'd all run and say, hit me with a flute. But there were such devotees who just could come and just touch you or smack you and give you the love of Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada, he had the potency. He just listened to his class, take some prasadam from his hand, and people felt, I want to give everything to Krishna, I want to serve Krishna. But once you're in Krishna Kanda, what else is to do? Chant Hare Krishna, eat Krishna prasadam. This is the process. If you don't have a taste, well, purify yourself, go on practicing, clear away the dirt. As Kapila Dev said, you clear away all the dirt, all the false identification. This is me, my vaya, my body, and this body's things are mine. Clear away all those misconceptions. Be fixed in your spiritual identity, Jiva Sarupoi Nitya Krishna Das. You're the eternal servitor of Krishna. And then you will get more and more taste for Krishna consciousness. Of course, you have to avoid offenses, avoid watering the weeds. So this is the process. This is automatically injecting, but this is instead of injection, it's like taking the pills. But sometimes someone will get injected also. You just see somebody suddenly jumping up. Can be very ecstatic. That can happen sometimes. They just suddenly get awakened. Prabhupada said sometimes the arti becomes so ecstatic, it's because Narada Muni or some other great liberated soul has entered into the temples watching the devotees. But he's invisible, they can't see him, but they're feeling so much extra ecstasy. One time Srila Prabhupada was seeing how Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, they were dancing during the Rath Yatra amongst all the devotees. So we can get sometimes special mercy, we don't know when and how. That's called kripasiddhi. When you get the mercy without any expectation, just it comes. But we can't, we're not supposed to just not do anything until that comes. We're supposed to do sadhana, do our practice, our regulated devotional service, and we hope upon hope for that special mercy that just comes out of the blue. But even if that takes time to get, by doing the sadhana, we'll get the steady mercy. And that's also the causeless mercy of the Lord, that His mercy, we can do the devotional service. Still a doubt. So we shouldn't mix bhakti with karma, jnana, or yoga. We shouldn't have desires for sense gratification, liberation, or mystic powers. We should want simply to please Krishna. We should want to have love of Krishna. That's pure bhakti. You see here, there's grass in the field and there's weeds. The rain is watering both, but the weeds grow faster than the grass. Yet if we don't, in fact, our whole lawn's going to become weeds. We don't get out there and eliminate the weeds quick. But somehow the weeds have got the ability to utilize whatever water they get very efficiently. They take over, they shove out the real devotional creeper. So the system is to weed. Weeding means taking out by the root, not just cutting off the top. When you hire the farmers here, you have to stand there with them, because when they do the weeding, it's a lot easier if you just take the little weeder, shovel, they have a little implement that does the weeding, a little handhold, and they just cut the grass above the ground. But that doesn't do anything, it just comes out again. You have to be sure that they go into the ground and cut the root and pull the grass out with the roots. The main bulb of the weed has to come out and then you throw it. Like that, Lord Chaitanya said you had to cut the weeds out from the root. Just trimming the leaves of the weeds won't do. You have to take it out by the root. What do you think? We have Aravinda Prabhu here, he's a horticultural expert. There's something to add on the weeding process?
Yeah, weeding. One observation is that if the lungs are to weed, the weeds are very small. So as soon as they germinate, you go and mow them. You can kill the weeds with very little effort. But if you allow them to grow, when they get a big sign the same week, we'll pay with each other, as you say, eradicate by the group. Whereas if you can take it while it's very small, very easy.
So we should do constant weeding. Whenever little weeds come out, eradicate them. If we think, well, put it off till later, then Aravinda Prabhu is advising us, taking out the big weeds is much more effort. Weeds grow not arithmetically, but they grow geometrically. And then from one weed, they put out sometime roots, either root things, and another weed start coming out, and pretty soon you got a whole weed family. Pretty soon you don't even know if there wasn't originally anything else but weeds there. If you come over. You have a question? Pancharana Prabhu? Worshipping the different forms of Vishnu, Narasimha, or Narayan, or Ram, different forms of Krishna, this shouldn't be confused with worshipping the devas or devis, because the Krishna appears in various forms. So worshipping the different forms of Krishna, you're still worshipping the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, only in a different aspect. So some aspects of Krishna, you know, they each have their different natures. Lord Chaitanya wanted to bring people to the understanding that they're all coming from Krishna, therefore worshipping Krishna united all of the different aspects of Vishnu worship. But in any case, it is accepted that any form of Vishnu worship is also bhakti. But we shouldn't confuse that with worshipping Shiva or Murugan or Ganesh or Durga or Kali or Sitala, and so many other sunny, so many other forms of worship of different suras and devas. That's like calling the prime minister, calling the police chief a prime minister. Sometimes a king is on his throne, and sometimes he's in the private quarters. And sometimes he's playing polo. If he's a king of a prince of England, prince of Wales, he plays polo on a horse. So there are different times they're doing different things. It's but it's still all the same prince or same king. So similarly, Krishna in a different avatars he appears, but it's the same Vishnu, same Krishna. So that's why we eat the prasadam from all the Vishnu temples in India with great respect. Lord Chaitanya would respect, he would bear. We go to other temples, but we respect them as devotees, as Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, not as independent. Bhakti means to Vishnu. But if we can, Lord Chaitanya also said he had a special teaching. That's a general teaching. A special teaching is that the original Vishnu is Krishna. And Sri Srila Prabhupada, he also taught us to study how they're doing things at Tirupati. We go to the Vishnu temples, we take Krishna prasad, Tirupati prasad. But we know that the Krishna prasad or Navadip Dham is actually something special in the world today because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. That doesn't mean the other places aren't holy. The Navadip Dham is like the holiest of the holy, the most merciful of the merciful. But everything, that's why it's not like one is good and one's bad. Like in material, you can have a differentiation, black and white, good and bad, higher, lower. Here, everything is absolute. It's all transcendental. But still there's some vaishista, there's some variegatedness and some differentiation. But it's on a higher platform. Not that one is good and one is bad. It's all good. But amongst the good, it's better and best. Dwarka is tense and narrow, but Mathura is better, but Vrindavan is the best. And even in Vrindavan, then you have Radhakund and Govardhan. So these are a type of higher transcendental variegatedness, not to be confused with material good and bad. Hare Krishna.